T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Next, I'd like to introduce
Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are gonna become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hertl and Jacob Albrecht on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It certainly is, and welcome in to a Thursday edition on this June 23rd. Good to have you with us. 869-1240 on the KFH hotline, fueled by Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks serving Wichita East and West. Longtime sponsor of the show. Much appreciated for it. Jacob Albrecht, yours truly. Jad Chambers producing Sports Daily, rolling on a Thursday. It is the 50th anniversary on this day. Pretty good OTD to start the show. June 23rd. Title IX was made law by the federal government, stating no person in the U.S. shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any educational program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. And as Jacob, I would imagine, father of daughters, I'm father of daughters. This is something or other that I have followed very closely and with a great deal of satisfaction. I know there's still work to be done. But man, the shape of women's sports has been largely defined in the last 50 years, and Title IX has been at the core of it. It is the right thing to do to acknowledge it and celebrate it in this 50th anniversary.
Yeah, I've always appreciated the doors that it's for sure opened. You know, I think sometimes we want things to be the same when they're not. But this is an area where we needed to take a step in the right direction, and it just provides so many opportunities.
Right.
So much exposure in the places that it needs to be. It's at the level it needs to be. When you're talking about educating young people and doing all the things that it does and provides, that's what it's all about, right? You're not going to tell people how to spend their money, but you can certainly, you know, tell our higher institutions how to create the right atmosphere for growth and success.
Without question,
celebrate.
Yeah, well said, and without question, equity is an important thing, and. And opportunity should be created equally. There are other things that may not be made equally. And right, we understand that. Opportunity should always be created equally. And that's true in so many different things. But we're talking about the opportunity for women in sports. And it's been a great portion of my career. A very significant portion of my career has been enhanced greatly through the burgeoning opportunities in women's sports. So very thankful, but for the right reasons, for women to be able to compete and to be able to enjoy the benefits of competition, and to be supported financially in an equitable way. So work still to be done. You cringe when a couple of years ago you get stories like the compare and contrast of weight rooms at the NCAA tournament and things of that nature. So, you know, we keep an eye on it and hope that that we can do the right things and can continue to evolve. But the world in a much better, to me, competitive place because of the equity that Title IX has brought in the last 50 years. So tip of the hat to Title IX on this 50th anniversary of that legislation. All right. I guess Royals last night. Jacob, I had a great night. I just had a really good night. I love days, nights, when you have a couple of things that you're really locked into and you have them at different enough times that you can be in the middle of one, or one can be coming to a climax while the other one is just getting going. And that's kind of what I had last night following game five, and had to be locked in, or game four rather, had to be locked in to the Stanley Cup final, which was a very satisfying game just from a competitive standpoint to watch and to experience. And then also with the knowledge that the Royals had won consecutive series for the first time this season, looking for the sweep that they didn't provide in Anaheim, but nonetheless seeing Daniel Lynch and Shohei Ohtani going at it mano a mano. Now, Ohtani was otherworldly. He was dominant, and it's just another head-shaking example of what this guy is all about. 13 strikeouts, 2 hits through 8 innings. But Daniel Lynch had his moments as well. Can't walk guys. Just drives me crazy when you walk guys. And he hadn't had as much of a problem of it lately, but last night was kind of all over the map, and there was way too much traffic in the game. But, man, the Royals were playing, in my estimation and my feel, at least the way I felt it, a meaningful game last night.
Yeah, it felt big for a while. Now, the Angels had some late runs, but it felt big because Ohtani was doing those Ohtani things, right? But Daniel Lynch was going, you know, not blow for blow. He certainly was not was not as impressive as Ohtani, but he was navigating it. And he had too many walks and too many pitches and just 4 2/3, and those are the things he's learning. But, you know, the team was right there in a game where we talk about this, and it's not really, like, definable, but, man, the buzz that Shohei Ohtani creates when he's in a game is different. And especially when he's pitching, and pitching like that, man, he's just, like, it's just so much fun to watch. And the Royals were in the middle of it, and they hung around in there, and it does feel better than it did a week ago. And I hope that regardless of where they end up, that this, you know, it feels good to watch Royals baseball again. I hope that continues. Right. Because that's all you need in the summertime, right? You just need a reason to flip on the game. That's it. Just give me a reason to watch. And they're giving us a reason to watch lately. And, you know, thank goodness, because it's been a while. And it's nice to see. And it's fun to see when it's in a situation like last night when, you know, everybody was tuned into other things. But baseball people, you know, were probably flipping around finding that game because they wanted to see what Ohtani was doing.
I feel like it. I agree. I think the Cleveland story right now is fascinating. The Guardians are, what have they won, 17 of 21 now, and rallied with 4 in the ninth to beat the Twins again yesterday, 11-10. What a wild, wild series that has been, to really establish right now a foothold for one of those two teams atop the American League Central, and it happens to be Cleveland. And the Guardians are playing really good baseball. Guardian still doesn't trip off the tongue very well, does it? But we're getting used to it. And before you know it, it'll be just fine. No big deal. But, man, and you can tell that they're having fun at the ballpark, man. That is a that's a fun baseball team to watch right now. Our buddy Jeffrey Lutz, longtime fan of the Cleveland Indians and now the Guardians, has got to just be has just got to be over the moon right now. That club is playing exceedingly well. But to your point, not to be sidetracked, yeah, the Royals played a meaningful game last night. It was a game that if you were a baseball fan and you're locked into baseball, you knew that that matchup was going on. Even with a team like the Royals, 17, 18 games, 500, doesn't make any difference. If you know your baseball and you pay attention, you know that you've got kind of an up-and-comer in Daniel Lynch who's given the Royals some really nice moments so far this year and is one of the things that is probably right about the Royals right now, going against the most compelling player in Major League Baseball and maybe the most compelling player in Major League Baseball that we've had probably since Bonds. And you can argue about
you can argue about
the nature of how compelling Bonds was and the reasons around it. Fine, I'd listen to that. But just from a standpoint of the type of player that you need to, I mean, the dude hits two home runs and drives in eight the night before he goes out and goes eight innings and strikes out 13, allowing two hits. Come on, Jacob. What more do you need if you're a ball fan? What more do you need?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't know what else to tell people other than if you get a chance to watch his games, you got to watch because, I mean, my goodness. Eight RBIs one night, 13 strikeouts the next.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's wild. Well, it doesn't even make sense. I hope with everything I've got that he trailblazes a path to more two-way players because there are guys that could do it. Not to his level. I'm not saying that, but there are guys that could do it. Josh Hamilton. The rumor mills of his days as a high school baseball player. And he was up there pumping 98, 99. And his dad had to tell him, you got to stop. They're going to make you pitch. They won't let you hit.
Yeah.
Like, what could that have looked
like? How
much
does that suck?
Right? But there are, we all know that. A lot of the time, the best players coming up when you're growing up are pitchers when they can and, you know, play in a position somewhere otherwise. I mean, I'd love to see it if, you know, and the DH might help this. I'd love to see Ohtani playing in the outfield. How good would it be to see him just fire a laser in from right? But that's okay. I mean, I'll take the DH for now because I get it. You're protecting. I get it. But hopefully that allows it. Because, you know, like Micah Owings was a great hitter. Rick Ankiel was such a good hitter. Yeah. He became an outfielder.
Outfielder, right?
He could have done both. Clearly, when he did it, Yu Darvish.
I think
when he would get a chance to go to the National League, could hit quite a bit.
I think Darren Dreyfuss at Wichita State could have done it. He was a fantastic power hitter in college, and a first round draft pick of the Dodgers. Got sideways injury wise in the big leagues. And obviously was in the National League, would never have been afforded the opportunity to DH because there was no opportunity to do so. But he was the type of guy that would have been very interesting as a hitter at the next level. Not to the level of Shohei Ohtani. I mean, we're talking about Shohei Ohtani is, and we fire this phrase around maybe a little bit too much, But the term unicorn really applies to Shohei Ohtani. You're seeing something in baseball that hasn't been offered and produced since Babe Ruth. I mean, think about that.
Hasn't been allowed to be. either.
Right.
I mean, that's
hasn't
what
been
you
allowed
wonder.
To be. Right.
It's because
hasn't been allowed to
it's
be.
It's because he hasn't been allowed to be. How much, you know, how much could he have been? How many players, again, not saying to the level of Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani's greatness is like Babe Ruth in that he's both a Cy Young candidate and an MVP candidate. You know, he's a candidate to win the MVP as a pitcher separately than a hitter, and he does them both. That's where the Babe Ruth thing comes in. Now the question is, could we have seen any of these? Maybe not to his level, but we would have seen a lot of players that could do both.
Sure.
I mean, a lot. I remember, and it's not like we're not talking about, you know, everyone having to be at that. I think C.J. Wilson, if I remember correct, could hit quite a bit.
Good call.
When you get
You're
into
right.
a National
yeah,
League
sure.
park.
Yep.
Like, I just am trying to recall those American League players that would go over to the National League, and they'd get those opportunities just so seldom. But when they did, you're like, God, that guy can swing the stick. That's what I hope for. I really – here's what I've always wondered, Bruce. Because Ohtani is a unicorn, that he's a starting pitcher, and he does it at a high level. But I wonder how many guys, how many position players coming up could be out there right now and come in and give you meaningful innings in relief, right? That's where I see it. Like, why not have an outfielder that can also be a, you know, a one or two out guy out of the bullpen? Just slide in there if they're, you know, whatever it might be. I feel like that might be the future, and I don't know why more teams don't try that, because that seems more sustainable than trying to go the Ohtani model, because they do have to do a lot of things. You know, he has to go every 6 days and not every five, and they, you know, they do all these little things. But man, if you just had a position player that could come in and,
right.
and get you some relief innings, that'd be really cool.
Totally. I agree. Well, I mean, those are the types of things that kind of happen kicking and screaming in baseball. But once you get to it, then it becomes a little bit more trendy. And so maybe, who knows, maybe what Shohei Ohtani's doing can open that kind of door to the possibility of it happening. Because you're not going to find, well, I don't think you're going to find, you're not going to find many players like Shohei Ohtani, who is an all-star as a hitter and an all-star as a pitcher, and is, like you say, can be in the discussions of the Cy Young and the discussions of the MVP. Hell, discussions of the MVP. I mean, he is the MVP. So,
well, he's going to be the MVP every year he plays.
Well,
how
sure.
is anybody going to beat him? That's going to be the discussion of where it changes. Like, you got Vlad Guerrero Jr. last year doing things offensively that we don't normally see,
Well, you can't
even
compare the two. Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can't. I mean, you're comparing half the production, really.
Right.
I mean, as good as Vlad Guerrero could have hit 70 home runs, and he wouldn't have been the MVP. Right? I mean, I think. So, yeah, it's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And even though it was happening against the Royals last night, Jacob, as a baseball guy, those are the types of things you just enjoy watching. You just enjoy seeing, God, look at this guy. And you're sitting there with the knowledge of what he did the night before. Now you're watching him in a totally different discipline, different set of skills being tested, and rising to the occasion in very much the same way. I just hope people appreciate it. Even if your team gets beaten the way that it was last night, just to be able to watch a guy do that, and to be amazed by his proficiency across the board, his skill set. God, it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, we're off and rolling. Plenty to get to today. The Aftershocks, number one seed in the Wichita Regional. Their path to TBT. Talk about that coming up. That's right around the corner. All kinds of things. The NBA draft is tonight as well. It is a Thursday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, yours truly. Jad Chambers producing. We haven't done this early, but let's do it now. Caller number three for a four-pack of tickets to see the Wichita Wind Surge, a game of your choice, courtesy of the Wichita Wind Surge and your station for sports, KFH, 869-1240. Caller Babe Ruth, number three, wins the tickets to go see the Wichita Wind Surge. Back in a minute.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rolling along on a Thursday, 9:28 in the a.m. Good to have you with us. 869-1240 to join the show. We always welcome you via the KFH hotline, fueled by Twin Peaks. Aftershocks, how you feeling about their path playing at home as the number one seed? The team to beat in that region, I guess.
Well, after last year, I think that, yeah. Think that they are. I think predicting success in the TBT, and yes, I'm going to call it the TBT because not putting the in there never makes sense to me, even though I know it's the basketball tournament. So forgive me on that. I have a complex about that. But seeing them do so well last year, I guess makes them the favorite, but I think trying to predict success in there is a fool's errand. It's such a wild and fun and outrageous tournament. I'm excited about who's there, though, because right. You've got the Aftershocks and certainly enough recent talent to get fans excited. but man, that Kansas State team looks awesome. And then you get alumni teams from Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, North Texas. All that, that's a regional. That's going to be fun. And I don't know how many, you know, Texas Tech feels regional, but it's 8.5 hours away. So, sure. You know, I don't know how many fans are going to be into it enough to travel up here to see those teams. Hopefully some. But, man, that Wichita State team looks great. And that K-State team looks fantastic. Yeah, Jacob Pullen? You kidding me?
I love Jacob Pullen.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, Jacob Pullen was one of my favorite players from that era of K-State success. God, just a fantastic competitor and player. Really made K-State very captivating team during those years with Frank Martin. And pretty good stuff. That's a team that was on the cusp of Final Four. So, anyway, it's coming up. And, the TPT is really evolved into quite a thing to look forward to each and every year. Now you kind of set your watch by it a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of the event of the summer.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly. And it's cool how it's evolved. And you've got teams all over the country that are well beyond just the nostalgia of seeing these guys play. All of these guys are pros. Now, they may not be in the NBA, but all of these guys are playing for pay somewhere. So the level of basketball right. continues to be extremely high. Then you throw in cool things yep. like the Elam ending, which I think you and I are huge fans of. I would love to see
big it. Enough fan that I say I wish basketball yes. at every level would adopt it.
I do too.
I'm that big a fan of it.
I love it, and it makes sense. So coming right around the corner, and obviously it's proven to be a huge success. In Wichita, and I would expect no less. Fans in Wichita love their college hoops, love basketball, period. And you put a collection of that kind of talent on the floor, not only with the school, members of the alumni of the program that they followed, but just other schools as well. They'll just go watch basketball to appreciate it. And I love the fact that the Shockers are starting with We Are D3. Is that it? That their first game is? Because that team made a nice impact a year ago in the tournament. And I think it's just fantastic. So more power to it, and hope it goes well, and have a feeling that it will. And I think people will really get behind it. And it looks like you said, it looks like it's going to be a pretty representative squad. They've got some really nice players and some nice talent. And it's always fun to watch Connor Frankamp. And I'm always, and let me just say this. It's great that Connor comes back and this is important to him. He's playing at the highest level internationally that you can play at and not be in the NBA. So for him to come back and play and with the enthusiasm that he has and stuff, I think is really cool. It's always great to see him. So anyway, so it goes. Let's see here. The NBA draft is tonight. Level of interest only because Christian Brown and Ochai Agbaji are on the clock. Pretty high for me. The NBA draft to me, I think, has lost a little bit of its fascination because there are so many players that will be tapped tonight. That even for those of us who really follow the game, now we're gonna know there are gonna be names that are familiar, and obviously at the highest level of college basketball, there are gonna be guys that go off the board, Jacob, that are very familiar to us. But we live in an era now where European players, foreign players, the G League players that become eligible again in the draft or whatever the case may be. There's a level of familiarity maybe that most basketball fans are not as locked into. Yeah, they know the NCAA players, certainly, but there are players in this draft from Europe that will be stone cold stars in the NBA that a lot of fans have never even heard of yet.
It's hard. It's hard to know the European players. You remember when we went through that stretch of years where European dudes were getting taken high every year, and it was just like, what? I don't even remember how you Darko Milicic was, you know, in the conversation to go over LeBron James. I mean, that draft that featured Wade and Carmelo and LeBron, I think they're all three in there, right? And
yeah,
I don't even remember if Bosch was in there, but whatever it was, and Darko Milicic. Like, I wonder if there's going to be a Luka effect, a Jokic effect. Like, are we going to start to see that again? Maybe. I mean, it's all copycat, so maybe so. I don't know. I mean, for us, we obviously want to see where Ochai Agbaji goes and where Christian Brown goes. I've seen a lot of Agbaji to Charlotte in places. Because he's kind of ready made, right? He's ready to just jump in right away. I think Brown is all over the place. Bruce, there's a guy named Nikola Jovic in this draft.
Yep, from Serbia.
Not Jokic, is fantastic. Not Nikola Jokic,
I saw his work. Yep, I saw his workout in. He was one of the 24 that the Nuggets worked out. And so I actually saw like 5 minutes of his workout, and he's an impressive player, and he's an impressive personality too. He's one of those guys that even as a very young person is a little bit more mature in his years, a little bit of an older soul. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets picked. But no, you're right. And he's one of the top talents in Europe. He's 6'11", by the way. About 225.
Don't want to stereotype the body type we've seen coming over from Europe, but that's been a successful prototype, right?
Sure.
Big, tall, beefy Serbians. Dyson Daniels plays in the G League. He's way up the draft board. The G League effect is there. There's a French dude named Ousmane Dieng. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He's way up the draft board. Don't know anything about him. The NBA draft is much harder for me to just sort of lock into than the NFL draft. It's honestly for me, it's closer to the MLB draft, where I just don't know. You know, I know some of the guys that I saw play.
Right.
But other than that, I could trying to evaluate based on such a small sample size for most of these guys is really difficult to do. So, yeah, Paolo and Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren, we got to see. I mean, that's refreshing, right? You got
the
guys that were playing late into the NCAA tournament high on the board. Jaden Ivey's way up there. I'm trying to look, you know, you got a bunch of freshmen. Jaden Ivey's a sophomore. Keegan Murray's a sophomore. Dude from Arizona, Benedict Mathurin's a sophomore. But it's a lot of freshmen. It's a lot of international. I think Ochai Agbaji will probably, Bruce, be the first, you know, upperclassman type player that we'll see in this draft.
Right.
And it'll come hopefully in the lottery. I hope it comes in the lottery.
Yeah, you hope so too. But to your point, and it's a good one, that this is the change that we've seen in the draft. The most significant, of course, is the fact that it's a two-round draft now. All right? So that's changed. The influx of foreign players has changed things. The availability of players from the G League has changed things. That and the fact that even with college players, it's usually a very young selection. You're talking about players with very little experience to make the jump to the NBA. So how many impact players are there year in and year out the NBA draft? You can make an argument that that's been watered down over the years because of the lack of experience. And in truth, if you go back and look at the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, you'll find impact players taken in the draft, but you might not find impact players in the first year or 2 years, because the learning curve to becoming a pro, even for the most talented players in the draft, the top half of the lottery picks, just the difference in playing 32 games as opposed to 82 games is a significant challenge. Learning how to play and rest and do the things that you have to do just physically to keep up in the NBA, not to mention developing your game. And so, I don't know. I mean, it used to be, when you watch the NBA draft, you are seeing difference makers. Now it's a little bit more of a delayed effect. Even with, and I'm not talking about the highest level of lottery players, although even then, if you go back and look at the draft in the last 4 or 5 years, go find immediate impact players. I mean, Zion Williamson, I mean, there are obvious ones that are immediate impact players. DeAndre Ayton, et cetera. There's always going to be a few guys like that. But by and large, the impact comes a few years down the line when players learn how to play a little bit more. Jamal Murray is a really good example right in my wheelhouse. He was taken in the seventh. He was taken in the seventh pick in the 2018 draft. And, you know, obviously he's been injured the last year, but was an evolving star. But here we are, it's 4 years later, and he was starting to come into his own before he was injured. But, and you're talking about a very high impact player out of the University of Kentucky that took a couple of years to kind of get it figured out, because they just come in so young, immensely talented. But the NBA is a different kind of animal. So, and I have a question about the NBA as well, and the draft, and the foreign element. We'll continue here with in just a moment. All Brockton Hurdle with you, Jad Chambers, producing Sports Daily on a Thursday. Interesting conversation. I think it was interesting, at least it was to me at the time, in the office the other day, about the foreign impact in the NBA. And one of our producers, who I respect a pretty good amount, was talking about there's a lessening of interest for him in the NBA because of the impact of the foreign player. And I couldn't understand this, especially since he helps cover a team with one of the foremost foreign players in the league right now, two-time MVP Nikola Jokic. So as a basketball fan, and as a guy that grew up in the orbit of the Dallas Mavericks with Dirk Nowitzki, probably the most famous foreign player of all time, certainly the most successful foreign player of all time, at least to this point in history, I think it enhances the game. And I think that the greatest thing that the NBA, Yeah. The greatest thing that the NBA has done is to export their brand in a way that has brought the world to them. And they've got Jordan to thank for that, and Elijah Wan, and Dirk, and all these players that have come before them, but now to the point where a good portion of this league is the prowess comes from a foreign effect, a foreign entity. And I think it's fantastic for the growth of the game to see it good worldwide.
It is, and you really have to think of it in the sense of, like, think about, I mean, Major League Baseball.
Sure.
Most of our favorite players at this point are foreign players, right?
Yeah, right.
I say most. A large majority. It's definitely not most, but a large majority.
Hmm. Right.
In the NFL, it's not really a global game, right? So we don't really, I would imagine soccer folks embrace the foreign nature of it. Hockey folks certainly do. And it's definitely not different in the NBA. Now, it can lessen the interest in the NBA draft because I do partly agree with that just because we don't know the names, right? We're not, and it's hard to compare that to something. So in the NFL, we don't really have foreign players, not very many. In the Major League Baseball, there's a totally separate system to bring in international players. They're not just a part of the regular draft. Be real interesting if they were, but they're not. In the NBA, we do get the blend, and that's probably the right way to do it, for the record. You know, that's a much, much better way to do it than baseball, but that's apples to oranges in the comparison. And, you know, it might make the draft a little worse, because I agree it kind of does, but there's only really a couple of guys who are going to get into the mix with the college guys we know. I think the NBA draft's harder to get into because we don't see as much of the players that go early in college. We just don't see as much of them. So, you know, in the NFL, you've seen a guy 2, if not 3 years at least before, and there's a lot of seniors that go high. It's just different. We're just more familiar with it. These guys we get to see for a season, and if they don't make the tournament, you know, you really probably didn't see them at all, to be quite honest.
Right.
Some of the G League guys you don't see. So it's just the melting pot nature. But there's no question foreign players, once they get to the league and we learn who they are better. I mean, my goodness, is there a more exciting player to watch right now in the game than Luka?
No.
And that's no disrespect to Jokic. I just think Luka's game is a little more exciting.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree.
So, I mean, the international flavor to the NBA, to me, is one of the things that keeps it interesting. Because I have switched and become a much bigger college basketball fan. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with where I live.
Sure.
In Wichita, Kansas, which is, you know, is a college basketball hotbed. But right now, like, I'm all in on college basketball, and then I find my way to the NBA really not until the postseason. I mean, I'm tracking it. I'm kind of keeping up with it. But it's been a long time since I've watched any significant amount of regular season NBA games anymore, because I spend that time of the year watching so much college basketball. So, I mean, I probably have more familiarity with the young college players than I used to now. And I'm interested to see where some of these guys go. I mean, if we break down the draft, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm certainly far from a draft expert. I think Ochai Agbaji has a chance to be a real handy NBA player. I think whoever gets him could get an immediate impact maker. I think that Paolo is going to be the best player out of this draft. International players notwithstanding, because I don't know a thing about the international guys. But I look at the top of the board. I would take Paolo over Chet Holmgren or Jabari Smith 10 times out of 10. I just think he's going to be a better player.
I sure hope Ochai Agbaji gets in on the
into the lottery.
At the end of the lottery. That'd be great. Hey, boy, you talk about a kid that you cheer for. Because
absolutely.
Because he's a different kind of cat, isn't he? Guy that, you know, hung in there.
Kansas has
stayed
those guys.
With it.
How
worked, developed. It's great.
How does Bill
Love
Self
success
do it?
Stories like that.
How does he do it in today's college basketball world? I mean, just since I've been following Kansas closely, there are so many really good dudes that come up through that program. Devontae Graham, Frank Mason, you know, now Ochai, certainly, Perry Ellis. I mean, there's so many of them. Sometimes I don't think the rest of the country, even though they know who Bill Self is, understands what kind of job he really does in Lawrence. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. Well, he's got two championships now. Maybe the level of appreciation and that recognition is enhanced. I don't know. I mean, I think that college basketball is probably amongst the most it's pretty provincial. I mean, there's a great national thirst for the college game because the postseason in college basketball is still arguably the best of any postseason period, the 3 weeks that we have of the NCAA tournament. But I think that there's real provincial bias. I mean, the ACC and you know, the Big East and in college basketball that may not exist maybe in other sports. I don't know. I that's an interesting thought about Bill Self. Well, let's rate him. Who do you think are the coaches right now? We'll leave you with this one, Jacob. You come up with five of the highest profile, most deeply respected coaches in college basketball right now. Would Bill Self be on that list? Would he be in that top five? He certainly would be for you and I. I don't think there's any question in that regard. But nationally, who would be in front of him? We'll just throw that to the wind. Here as we get going in hour number two. Jad takes us to break, 869-1240 if you want to weigh in. We're back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.